It's always so good to gather together, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. The CEO of Unity Worldwide Ministry, Shad Groverland, pointed that out recently, that a big part of Unity's beginning was gathering, right? Gathering together. At first, it was just in mind and heart and in presence across the miles that there would be a publication of, you know, gather in prayer at this time. And so we would gather only in consciousness. And so many of us have experienced that of late, right? Of gathering in places in consciousness or online. And thank you to our online viewers for being with us in that way. And then we are here as well. Thank God. I echo what you said, Bob. Just wonderful to be able to gather together in person. Yeah, this is sanctuary. That's what we're talking about today. Sanctuary, being in sanctuary. This physical place and so much more. We provide that for each other. When Fania was a young Jewish girl, she survived the Holocaust in Ukraine because Maria hid her. And because of that brave act, those two families got forever connected. And then just this year, since that time, actually, Fania and Maria both have long since made their life transition, but just this year, it was Maria's two granddaughters who were seeking sanctuary. And Fania figured out a way to get them to her. In the meantime, she visited her grandmother's grave and she prayed that her grandmother and spirit and all who could in the invisible realm would rally to make sure that her friend's two granddaughters would arrive, and these granddaughters would arrive, and they did, and she was able to welcome them into her home in Israel and give them sanctuary. And so it's amazing how interconnected we are, isn't it? And how we all can be that and provide that kind of sanctuary. We do it all the time. We don't always think about it, but we do it all the time. I can't imagine being in that kind of situation. I've never been in that kind of situation where I'm fearing for my life, fleeing for my life, seeking sanctuary. Maybe some of you have. And when we get to that place, you imagine what these granddaughters might have felt, or even the original woman, Fania, might have felt when you are running for your life out of chaos and everything that's going on, and you get to that place finally, and you go, oh, it's safe here. I'm okay here. I'm in the arms of God here. I'm in the heart of God here. What a relief. What a relief. Psalm 91 says, "You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." That's that coming home, that sense of coming home to sanctuary. So home, these two families providing sanctuary for each other across the generations, is pretty profound. And home that we provide all the time, a kind of sanctuary, right? The kind of home you have could be a sanctuary. I hope it is a sanctuary for you and for those you share it with, for travelers who come through, for temporary guests or permanent roommates, whatever the case may be. That it become a place that is a place of everything you wish it to be, whatever sanctuary is for you, peace, rest, renewal, inspiration, encouragement, whatever it may be. But it's not just place, right? It's not just brick and mortar, but it's the energy within it, right? It's the people within it that bring forth the sense of sanctuary. The place itself, yes, that can be created into a kind of sanctuary or feel like a kind of sanctuary, but it's not the place itself so much as it is the energy that is steeped in the place. So whatever it is that you speak in your home, that you do in your home, the ways that you interact in your home, the way that you create a space in your home, all of that translates into whether it will feel like sanctuary or not. And so we always have the opportunity to make it so. And of course, you know, the place that we sit in, that we stand in now or sit in now, is sanctuary. Spiritual communities provide sanctuary. Merriam-Webster defines sanctuary as actually a specific place in a religious building, a specific part that is considered especially sacred. That would be right where we are. And maybe some other little places around our property that you have found to be sacred for yourself, maybe the labyrinth or other places that really nurture your heart. Sanctuary is defined also as a consecrated place. And how does it get consecrated? But by whatever it is we do or say or imagine in the space, right? Here in the space is filled with song, is filled with prayer, is filled with meditation, is filled with words, hopefully, of truth or inspiration that move us in some way. It's filled with that kind of energy that when we call upon the light, we call upon the light within, we all come home together in that one breath of knowing, remembrance of who we are. That's how a place gets consecrated. It gets consecrated through ritual. It gets consecrated by whatever happens in that space and the consciousness with which we do it or bring it forth. So sanctuary is so much. And it's not so much that it just is this thing, this place, this sacredness, but it's also a provision. It's an ability to provide it, to give it, to share it in some way. So what brought you to the sanctuary today? Maybe you came for connection, friendship. Maybe you came to be inspired. Maybe you came to be encouraged. Maybe you came for refuge, for protection, for sanctuary, for healing. To just feel that breath of retreating from the daily busyness of the world or the problems of the world, to be reminded of who you are. There's so many reasons why we come into sanctuary together. Maybe you came because you come every week, because it is part of your experience and your touchstone of sanctuary. Maybe you came because your cup is full and you want to contribute. You want to be a part of making space, sanctuary, providing sanctuary for those in need. All wonderful reasons to be here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of creating, providing sanctuary by your very presence. You're welcome. So how do we come to sanctuary? Hopefully just as we are, right? As we are, that we are able to come in our own authentic expression, whatever that is. And maybe we too come with a sense of reverence, an expectation of that kind of reverence. It doesn't hurt to have that, because when we have that, that intentionality is also given over into the place itself. It becomes more of that consecration. And who do we provide sanctuary to? Well, we certainly provide it to everybody who's here, I hope. And we also provide it to anybody who at any given time feels it in their heart or mind to come here. I've had people tell me I've driven by this place a million times, and one day my car just turned right in. Anybody have an experience like that? Some people come because they're really aware of Unity, or they used to go to a Unity somewhere else, and some have never even heard of Unity, but they like the name, they like the idea. Somebody saw the sign at the intersection that said, "Welcome Home," our theme for the year, and they said, "You know what, yeah. I need a place of home. I need a sense of welcome. Or I want to be that." Or both. So many different ways that we come together. I believe that sanctuary is our strong suit in Unity. I think providing sanctuary, creating sanctuary, being sanctuary is natural for us. Consider the world that is filled, sorely needing lots of transformation and the activism that makes it so. People are out there constantly pounding the pavement in a variety of different ways, right? To make change, to make transformation in the world. And some of us, but I would venture to say most of us in this room are not the ones who are out there protesting. We're not necessarily the ones who are pushing the agendas at city council to make change. We're not necessarily in this room the people that are going to be out there advocating for public policy change and making that part of our daily routine. And you know what? That's okay. We will most likely be the people who are going to bless and ponder and discuss and send out energy and pray and meditate and hold the world in our hearts and in our minds and act when we can, when there is a way made for us. And that's okay too. For so long I've thought about us as we need to, we should, we got to get out there, we got to be more like sacred activists, and it feels like, you know, paddling upriver. And I finally come to the realization that maybe that's just not who we are. And that's okay. Because you know what? There's a whole world of folks out there who need sanctuary. And that we can do. That we know how to provide. We are a ministry of healing. We've always been from the very beginning. The Fillmores, our co-founders, healed their bodies through the power of spirit. They sat in meditation for hours, blessing their bodies, and they were healed miraculously of incredible ailments that everybody said impossible. But this is a kind of place where we might be outside the doors, even on our way in the mindset of impossible, and we walk in the doors and it becomes possible. Anything can be healed. A mind, a heart, a body, a relationship, a world. Anything can be healed. And so if we know who we are, then we can do it really well. And so it's that knowing and stepping into and owning who we are, which also means that we might need to say, I'm not so much that, and that's okay. It doesn't mean it's not important, and how can I be in service to it? How can I be in service? Well, I can open my doors wide. I can open my heart wide. I can provide a place for rest and renewal and remembrance and peace. I can provide a place where you can be infilled once again so you can go out in the world to be the helper, the activist, whatever it is that you do that makes change in the world, or whatever it is that they, the people who have not yet found this place, do but sorely need. A place where they can come and be welcomed and accepted and fed and infilled, where the well can be refilled again so that they have it to give once again out in the world. So that we have, I think, is precious. That we have can be cultivated with ease because it comes so naturally to who we are. It just is a part of the energy here. It's love, right? So many people say it. Somebody, I think, said it yesterday at Charlene's celebration of life, that if we boiled unity down to a word, Mike said it, it's love. It's love. And so for anybody who's needing a little love or wanting to give a little love, my vision is that people everywhere will have it in their minds, oh, I know where you can get that. Unity. Because that's the kind of experience you're going to have. Here at Unity of Walnut Creek, part of our mission statement is a claiming of who we are as a community. We are a loving and inclusive community. So let's make that our absolute aim. Let's be the love, the essence of love, the embodiment of love, the open-hearted love, the welcome of love, the compassion of love, the forgiveness of love, the kindness of love. Let's be love and all her emanations. Let's be inclusive. Yeah. And let's be inclusive, like let's really dig in there to inclusivity, you know, because there's layers and layers and layers and layers to become a conscious, inclusive being. It's not just a, oh yeah, I welcome everybody. I love everybody. Okay. And we've got stuff, we've got history, we've got backgrounds. We live in a world that loves to separate us out and categorize us. And so our minds are used to that. That is what we have been taught. That's what we've been shown. That's how our institutions have been created. And so it's a recognition that there is so much to do there. So what can we be here? We can be a place where as soon as you come near, you know you are welcome. You know you are accepted. You know you are celebrated for who you are in all the beautiful, authentic expressions that we are. That is being inclusive. And so it's continuing to do the work, to educate ourselves, to do whatever it is that we each need to do to become a more welcoming and inclusive being. All of this is part of what we do to create sanctuary. There's a lot of fear out there in the world, right? There's a lot of fear that gets in here, isn't there? And so what do we know is the opposite of fear? Love. And so we shift into it. We find sanctuary in it. We summon the light. We come home to it in our hearts, to the sanctuary, this sanctuary, to this sanctuary, to the bigness, the allness, the sanctuary of God that we live and breathe and have our being inside. And then it's a becoming of sanctuary. We become that. We carry that. We end up being that for everyone. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And why can I do it so easily? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, sometimes we are going to be the weary ones. Sometimes we are going to be the lonely ones, the confused ones, the fearful ones. And we will hopefully pad our way right over to this place to be infilled once again once we've come. And sometimes we will feel like Jesus does. Come. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I have so much to give. I have gifts. I have presence. I have infinite patience. I want to pray with you. I want to give to you. I want to serve. And there will be days when we feel like that. And hopefully on those days, we won't just think, "Oh, no, I feel pretty good. I'm not going to go to Unity." Hopefully, especially on those days, we'll say, "I have something to offer." Even if it's just that I sit quietly here, because that presence, that participation in the energy buoys the energy, lifts the energy, encourages the energy. You are participating in healing a life that is in this room right now by being here. You participate in the transformation of the world or an individual's experience of the world by being here right now. That's profound. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for doing everything you needed to get here, to get ready, to choose to be here over wherever else, to choose to tune in online, to drive here. All that you did is a call, right? A call of some kind, either to contribute, to receive, or both. And it's all welcome in this place of love, in this place of inclusivity. One of the teachers that I've worked with over time is Scott Eberle. He's a medical doctor, and he guides vision fasts. And I've been to a couple that he has co-guided. And I always appreciate what he often says at the end, because, you know, we've had some time together to set the circle, to be out solo in nature, and then to come back and for people to tell the stories of their experiences and their lives. And you know, I leave those places with my eyes chapped from crying, you know, because the stories are just so beautiful. The sharing is so beautiful. The moments, the transformation, the healing moments that occur. And Scott always says, you know, when I leave this place, I'm hesitant because my heart is blown wide open. And I'm going to go back out into the world, into the hospital to serve my patients, go back home. I'm going to get back out in traffic. And I don't know that I can stay in this wide open, loving space, because out there in the world, we get a lot of this, right? We get shown a lot of this, or we feel a lot of this, like, oh, okay, not a good place for me to share, or the heaviness, the negativity that is around us becomes a very different kind of experience than that kind of wide open circle that's completely opened up by spirit and nature and each other's hearts. So my vision is that this be a place where we just, as soon as we get here, we know it's okay to be wide open like this. And that it become our habit to be in a place that feels like sanctuary, and then to be that in the world, to be that in that kind of sensitivity where we know, okay, this is where I'm opening up, where I'm giving the fullness of my love. Sometimes maybe it'll be a little, you know, a little crack. That's okay too. Maybe when we first get here, it might be, oh yeah, maybe we'll open up a little bit, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more, and pretty soon the trust grows, and the faith grows, and the sense of, yeah, it is sanctuary. I feel home. I can be home. And I can leave this place and provide it to be the embodiment of sanctuary itself. You know, here we learn to shift, because so much of the healing that takes place is not just about healing bodies, but it's healing minds. You know, even when we go back to the beginning of the Fillmores and their healing of their bodies, it's all about healing the mind. It's all about shifting our thinking. So out in the world, we can get a lot of ain't it awful, ain't it awful, ain't it awful, right? We can get kind of in that sort of mindset and conversation space because it's a lot of what we're hearing and a lot of what we're seeing and a lot of what we're worrying about and wringing our hands about and all of that. And so our work is, as we heal minds, we get in the practice of that shift and that transformation that says we automatically look for the good. We automatically cultivate and pull forth the blessings that are there, because we're so practiced at that mind shift that it is accessible to us to go right into the healing of the mind and to be that for each other, for others. So if we were, you know, all of unity gathered together for a poster picture to be the poster children, I think we'd be standing behind that little girl who once looked at a big pile of doo-doo and said, "I know there's a pony in here somewhere." That's us, right? That's who we are. We are the people who can see the pony. And it's such a gift. So let's be the gift that we are. Let's be the truth that we are. Let's be that essence that we can be for the world. So I've invited a few friends to share with me, a sanctuary blessing. This was written by Sandra Fees. So we're going to bless our sanctuary with Susan and Irene and Eileen and these words.
We bless the space and each other with divine love. Through this place, our hearts are made kinder and more generous. Our hearts operate with a freedom of forgiveness and an abundance of compassion for ourselves and for all beings, and swell with a sense of becoming love itself. Our spirits are emboldened to act in and as divine love. The fire of our commitment to love all beings burns boldly, because we know all beings long, as we do, to truly love and be loved. And out of that love is born peace and rest, joy and fulfillment, purpose and inspiration. We feel loved and we act in service to divine love. Together, let's bless this sanctuary. We bless this sanctuary as a place of divine love.
Good morning. Blessing for inclusivity. We bless this space and each other with our intentions of inclusivity. There is truly a sanctuary for all of us, for those who are here and for those who are yet to arrive. A place where celebration, diversity is all in the form. Let open hearts, hospitality be our passion and custom, and let us cherish and ensure the center is a place for which of us has the opportunity to be heard, understood, accepted, and celebrated. We invite full participation of young and old, skin of colors, backgrounds, face traditions, gender expressions, and relationships, so that no one is left out of the beloved community and all are included to enrich who we are, each one taken together as a whole. Together, let's bless this sanctuary.
We bless this sanctuary as a place of inclusivity.
One more time, please.
We bless this sanctuary as a place of inclusivity.
Thank you. Bless everybody.
We bless this space and each other with our intention for connection, wisdom, and service. This is a place of innate spiritual connection, of remembrance, and divine realization. Let us also nurture and sustain spiritual companionship, creating bonds of encouragement and care in our community. Spirit's presence is felt here, addressed, accessed, and carried with us into all places from here. Opportunities for co-creation do not end at these walls, but reach out into the larger community and the world. Here we are woven ever more artfully and lovingly into the interconnected web of all life, forever one. Here and from here, we share our wealth, talent, and heart. Together, let's bless this sanctuary.
We bless this sanctuary as a place of connection, wisdom, and service. Thank you all for that sharing. I'd like to close with a poem by Jan Richardson. It's actually called A Blessing Called Sanctuary. You hardly knew how hungry you were to be gathered in, to receive the welcome that invited you to enter entirely. Nothing of you found foreign or strange, nothing of your life that you were asked to leave behind or to carry in silence or in shame. Tentative steps became settling in, leaning into the blessing that enfolded you, taking your place in the circle that stunned you with its unimaginable grace. You began to breathe again, to move without fear, to speak with abandon the words you carried in your heart, in your bones, that echoed in your being. You learned to sing. But the deal with this blessing is that it will not leave you alone. It will not let you linger in safety and in stasis. The time will come when this blessing will ask you to go out, not because it's tired of you, but because it desires for you to become the sanctuary that you have found. To speak your word into the world, to tell what you've heard with your own ears, seen with your own eyes, known in your own heart, that you are a beloved, precious child of God, beautiful to behold, and you are welcome and more than welcome here. So come, come all who are weary, healing, grieving, lonely. Come for rest, for healing, for comfort, for friendship. Come, come all who wish to spiritually grow, to serve, to contribute, to have fun, to spread joy. We provide sanctuary for all. Let's affirm that together. We provide sanctuary for all, and so it is.